This is Sunday Conversations. I'm your host, Michael Soul. Welcome to the show. I pray first and foremost that you and your family are doing well as we are still in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. As always, we are cautioning you to continue to practice social distancing as well as wear a mask when you have to go out into the public. Today's conversation is so serious. If we mention two cities, and the name of those cities brings up an image in your mind, that's all we would have to do to get today's show started. And you would know exactly where we are going with this show. I've got some very special guests that are going to be on the show. One, a television personality. You know her and you know her well. And two, a group of ladies who have come together and decided that they wanted to do something right here in Columbus about the situation in, let's say it, Minneapolis, Minnesota, in relation to the murder and death of George Floyd. Everybody wants justice for George Floyd. Meanwhile, in Brunswick, Georgia, if we mention that city, then the image that should come up in your mind is the image of a young man who was jogging through a neighborhood and thereafter lost his life. His name, Ahmaud Arbery. Or we could be talking about Louisville, Kentucky, where police were searching for the wrong person, obviously, and at the wrong address, and ended up killing an innocent woman by the name of Breonna Taylor. These images are very haunting. These images you may not want to see again. I know I don't want to see again myself personally. And that's what we're talking about here on Sunday Conversations. How is it that you really feel about what's going on in this country with relations to racism and police brutality and the murder of innocent, unarmed? And we always have to say that, but we shouldn't. Innocent, unarmed black men and black women. We'll get today's show started with Barbara Gaucher from WTVM News Leader 9. She's got over 30 years of broadcasting experience, 30 years of broadcasting excellence, and 30 years of broadcasting inspiration as well as information. Let's get into another edition of Sunday Conversations. This is Sunday Conversations, and on the line with me, my very special guest, my very special friend. You hear her, you see her on WTVM News Leader 9, the one and only Barbara Gaucher. Barbara, how are you?
Hey, Michael, I'm doing so great. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here. I was wondering when you were going to invite me.
So, Barbara, I want to get real personal with you before we get into everything else going on. How is your sister?
Oh, well, thank you so much for asking. My sister is doing great. She came home this weekend, on Saturday, as a matter of fact, and we have been just so blessed, and we have been so well supported by this community. Oh, my goodness. I have been overwhelmed by just the outpouring of support, the prayers, the well wishes that folks have sent, to her through me and on social media, just in person and phone calls. It's overwhelming, but in a good way, because it's just nice to know that so many people are just pulling for her and pulling for everybody who has been impacted by this awful illness. It is just, it's so bizarre because it just strikes people in unknown ways. People who get it, some people who may get it can be perfectly fine and not even have symptoms, and others can pass away from it. Others can be extremely ill and very close to death, as my sister was, and come back from it. So, but she is doing so much better, and we are so blessed. And thank you to everybody. Michael, you were always so supportive, and I know you talked about it on your radio show, too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, all of your support. And, just thanks to everyone.
On the line on Sunday Conversations, Barbara Gaucher. Of course, for those who don't know, we were actually talking about her sister, who Barbara had a very personal moment and transparent moment on TV to actually inform the viewers that her sister was suffering from coronavirus and COVID-19. Barbara Gaucher on the line. Yes, we're talking about the pandemic that we are still in, and we want to spread the word, not the virus. And again, we're praying that everybody will continue to practice social distancing, and we pray that everybody will continue to wear your mask when you go out in public. And Barbara, I pray that you are wearing your mask when you go out in public.
I am. I mean, every now and then you might catch me without it, but I mean, I try to wear it, you know, all the time. And I'm always so shocked by people who are not wearing their masks.
Right.
You know, we recently were down at the beach and nobody wore masks. I mean, maybe not on the beach itself, but I'm saying just like anywhere. I mean, you drive down the street, everybody's just walking around. I mean, I see that around Columbus too. But, you know, I wear my mask as much as possible, and I advise people to do the same.
Indeed. So let us take it up a notch, because you're in the news, I'm in the news. We're on the receiving end of a lot of information and a lot of events and things happening. And of course, the thing that we want to focus on now, of course, is not only what happened. And I said this the other day, that all you have to do is say the city and you know what we're talking about. So if I say Brunswick, Georgia, then you would say Ahmaud Arbery.
Right.
And if we say Minneapolis, Minnesota, then we would be referring to George Floyd.
Of course, yeah.
Barbara, I tell you, when I saw the video and I watched it, I tell you this, I can't watch it again. I cannot watch it again.
It's one of those things where, you know, you watch it, but you hate that you watched it once you watch it.
Yeah.
But you can't not watch it, because it's so awful and so unbelievable. And, you know, all these emotions that it spurs in you, you know, it's awful. I mean, both of the videos, I watched both of them.
Yeah.
And they are both awful and infuriating and heartbreaking, and all of these emotions that, you know, I know so many people are feeling, and I feel, I mean, just talking about it, every time I think about it, I get teary. It is, you know, it just tears me up inside to see, you know, these things continuing to happen.
You're a mother. I know you think about your son, your wife. I know you think about your husband as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about them, how do you feel?
You know, it is still astonishing. I was watching something on CNN. I think Van Jones was saying it is still astonishing that in 2020, you've got to still say to your son, you know, okay, if this happens, if you get pulled over, just make sure you just do what the officer says and make sure that you have your hands on the steering. You know, you've got to go through this litany of things of how to respond, what to do. You know, don't talk back necessarily. And I feel a certain way saying that, because it's like, well, Mom, you know, well, what if I've done nothing wrong? And more than likely, if it's my son, he probably, you know, will not have done anything wrong if I've raised him right. You know, I said, well, I just want you to get home. I just want you to get home, you know, and we'll worry about all of that other stuff later.
Yeah.
Just get home. And it's amazing that you still have to say that. You still have to think about that when they are out there. And I worry. I worry about him, you know, getting pulled over, you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, in a different way, I'm sure, than many other parents who are not African-American have to worry about their children.
Right. We're talking with Barbara Gaucher from WTVM Newsletter 9. It's a Sunday Conversations, and we're having a conversation not only about the coronavirus, but also about the pain that people are feeling, that we are feeling, as a result of the incidents that took place in Brunswick and now in Minneapolis. Barbara, I know the latest as of Friday was that the officer was arrested.
There is a history there of various cases that have happened, but, you know, it's really, you know, happening everywhere. We know we've got the case in Brunswick, and we've got other cases that have been in the news recently. The young woman who was killed in her home when the police came, a mistaken identity. You know, there's just been so many of these cases. And sometimes I think, too, you know, you'll have one, and then recently after there'll be another, like the Ahmaud Arbery case. But now kind of we're not really talking about that one right now because we're talking about, you know, Mr. Floyd and that case, George Floyd and that case. And you don't want to forget about the one before or the one before that, but it happens, it seems, so frequently now that, you know, you're kind of consumed with the current thing that has happened. But yeah, it there is a lot of pain that goes along with that and a lot of frustration. And, you know, it is hard to watch the violence that you see and the, and, you know, the burning of buildings and all that. Yeah. And God knows no one is condoning any kind of violence anything illegal like that. But you understand that you can feel the frustration, you know, that is out there among people. And as you said, it's been building and building. And I think people are tired of not getting any answers and not getting any real justice in a lot of instances. I mean, as a mom, I'm very proud. I was very proud that my daughter wanted to be a part of the rally and wanted to go and you know, take a stand. Of course, I was very nervous and very worried the whole time for her safety. Not because, you know, that protesting should be something that is unsafe, but you just, you know, we see what's happening around us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's concerning, but you got to let them go. You got to let them, you know, be who they are and
have a voice,
be a part if they want to of making that difference and bringing about that change
and have a voice. What did she say to you initially to inform you of the rally and her participation? How did she tell you about it?
Well, you know, this is, you mentioned we're reporters, you and I both, and so, you know, this is a very newsy household, so we watch a lot of news here. And, you know, when I get home, I work until, you know, nearly midnight. And when I'm home, we are watching oftentimes the news, CNN and Nightline and different news until very late. And we have just been consumed, and my husband as well, too. He's been very, you know, passionate and very, again, just emotional about what's happening. But, you know, we were watching all of the protests happening in Minnesota and Minneapolis, and, you know, they have just been really active, meaning they, my children, real active on social media, just talking about how they're feeling and what needs to be done and how they can make a difference. And she just said, Mom, there's a rally in Atlanta Friday, and I'm going to go, you know. But she went with her cousin, another young lady. They're 20 and 21. And I was like, oh, okay, I understand, you know, how you feel. But I did go over some things with her,
yeah.
You know, because I have covered rallies and I've covered protests. I've covered protests that have turned violent and been in the middle, caught between the protesters and the police and nearly being killed myself. So I said, okay, let's talk about, you know, your strategy and your plan. You've got to have a plan. You've got to know, like, if this goes down, this is what I'm going to do. If this happens, here's, you know. So I did talk with her about strategies and being prepared. So, and I think that's, you know, kind of what we as parents, you know, always need to try to do with our kids. It's like give them a plan, give them, you know, a way to escape should there be trouble. And that's, you know, what we try to do and make me feel a little bit better anyway about it.
We're talking with Barbara Gaucher on Sunday Conversations, not only about the events taking place here in Georgia, but also in Minnesota. And now Barbara has just given us another side of her. And we see her, we see you on the news and, you know, we hear you reporting, but now we hear you parenting also. And Barbara, you've got a son, you've got a talented son. And he has done a song. We're gonna play a little bit of that before we go into our next conversation today on Sunday Conversations. But talk about Brennan and this song that he has.
Well, thank you so much, Michael, for you know, playing a bit of it. You know, Brennan, my son, is a guitar player and a drummer, and a singer-songwriter and a producer, and you've been knowing him many years because you participated in the talent show.
Right.
I want to say that was like almost, probably nine years ago. Music is his passion, and he started writing this song when Michael Brown was killed. I want to say that was 2014, so mm-hmm. 6 years ago, he started writing the song, he wrote it, but he never really released it. It's called Sing My Song, but he wrote it kind of in tribute to Michael Brown, and never released it, kind of tweaked it, and then every time something would happen, it's like he'd add a little bit more or change it up a little bit, and then the Ahmaud Arbery recently, we've been talking with him, and the Ahmaud Arbery case happened, and, you know, he talked a little bit more about the song, and then George Floyd happened, and then he tweaked it a little bit more, and I said, Brennan, you've got to release this song. I mean, you know, it's called Sing My Song, and it's more of a tribute to all these people that have, you know, been killed and died way too soon and needlessly, you know, died and were killed. So it's like, you know, when they're gone, you know, we want to sing their song and, you know, we want their lives to have meaning and impact on us, and that they didn't die in vain. And that's what it's all about.
Barbara, I want to thank you for being transparent with us today. And as we kind of wrap this up a little bit, you said something there that, you know, struck me. And not only the fact that he wanted to write the song, and we need more art to imitate life instead of vice versa, life imitating art, you know, but this is now we're getting a picture, and I'm so happy that the artists now are giving us a picture of not only what's going on, but also what they see and what they feel as well about the events mm-hmm. and the times and things. So, but you said, you know, things kept happening, you know, and so we went from Mike Brown and we can run the list.
And there's been many in between.
Right.
You know?
Right. Now, as a reporter, as we move this to a close, and we're setting up actually for our next conversation, because there is a rally coming up in Columbus, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. This coming Saturday. We're going to talk about that and talk with the organizers of that one. So as a reporter, what is it that you hope, though, that your viewers who tune in to hear the news, what is it that you hope that they take away? And when they hear this news, not only that they are informed, mm-hmm. but do you hope that they are also empowered and inspired to make change?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel so deeply about it, Michael. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, I feel so deeply about trying to get the news to people in a way that they understand how it impacts their lives. Right. And they can take it and use it in a way to do just what you said, to affect change, to understand maybe how, you know, someone else feels. This happened to, you know, you talked about my sister. I'm bringing up that story about my sister. I thought it was so important to share that, because I thought, well, people will understand that they may not know anybody, you know, who's sick with coronavirus, but hey, we know Barbara and her sister's got it. This thing is touching everybody. And it's the same thing with this violence and this, you know, the killing of Black men and Black people. You know, it is such a horrible thing that is going on in our community. And I just want people to understand how it impacts, you know, me, how it impacts them, how it impacts families that may look different from them, but realistically, we are all so very similar in terms of what it is that we want out of life, how we want to live our lives. We just want to be able to live and to have our children be able to accomplish their dreams and to be happy and healthy. We all want the same thing.
Barbara, again, thank you for being with us on Sunday Conversations. To the listeners out there, how can they connect with you beyond the airwaves?
Well, you can always, of course, email me at bgoche@wtbn.com. Of course, I'm on Facebook, Barbara Goche, WTBN. And, you know, just, you know, send me a message. You can always reach me at the station, of course, just call the main number and ask for me. I mean, if you click on my picture on our website, I've got all my contact information there. And just you know, send me a note, send me a story idea. You know, just tell me what's on your mind. I'd love to hear from you.
Barbara Gaucher on Sunday Conversations, and we've got more coming up. Now let's get into Brennan's song. What's the name of it?
Called Sing My Song.
Sing My Song. It's Sunday Conversations. Thank you, Barbara.
We treat animals better than we treat black lives in this country and at times in the state of Minnesota.
Flame, it will burn down the city in your name. Highlight this for you. Oh. One drop comes a rain. I try to vanity, cleanse my pain. And I pour this for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sing my song when I'm long and gone. Song when I'm home and gone. No matter where I go, I promise I'll be strong. Just sing my song when I'm home and gone. Yeah, may every breath in time.
This is Sunday Conversation, and we are having a conversation about a rally taking place in Columbus. On the line, I've got the organizers for the rally. Takara, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Shamika, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on Sunday Conversations. Ladies and gentlemen, Shamika Averett and Takara Hemingway. Big rally coming up this Saturday. Ladies, first of all, let's talk about this video that I can't even watch again. The first time I saw it, my whole day was gone.
Man.
I went home. We had dinner. I wasn't feeling well. I walked outside. I sat in the car all night thinking about what happened to George Floyd.
Yep.
What was your reaction when you saw the video?
Oh my God. I was kind of in disbelief because I really didn't know what was happening. It's kind of one of those things when I watched the video with Ahmaud Arbery being shot, it's almost like you're kind of have an out-of-body experience because you're like, is this really happening? And when I saw that video of this young kid running and then he gets shot and he falls to the ground, an image is like forever, you know, engraved in my mind. So when I saw this image of this man laying on the ground with this police officer's knee in his neck, it didn't even register for me for a minute. Like, I literally was like, that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. Like, I was in complete disbelief. Like, am I looking at this? Am I looking at this? So that was my reaction. I was shocked. I was shocked until people started saying the man died. They started saying, you know, his knee was on his neck for 8 minutes. Now, I mean, that's when it became real for me. But at first, I literally was like, this is not happening.
Yeah. For me, like Shamika said, I mean, utter shock, total shock. I mean, literally, I was sitting at my kitchen table and my mouth was just wide open the whole time and I just could not believe it. And honestly, I've seen so many of these videos, you know, over the years and I've never cried. You know, I just would have so much like empathy and just feel so sorry, but I broke down. I mean, I couldn't control it. It was like an uncontrollable emotion. It just kind of took over my body. My chest got tight. I got sick to my stomach. And I just kept saying, I cannot believe this is happening. And I remember my daughter coming in saying, Mom, you know, what's wrong? And I just was like, can you believe, look at what they are doing. Look at this. And I mean, especially Mike, as a medical professional, to watch somebody place their hard bone,
yeah,
okay, knee in the back of somebody's head where your cerebellum and your brainstem and everything that controls your respirations is located.
Wow.
All right. And literally cut this man's ability to breathe off. And nobody saying anything. I was floored. I still get very upset about it.
We're talking with Takara Hemingway and Shamika Averett here on Sunday Conversations. Shamika, you mentioned the Ahmaud Arbery case and situation, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that, as well as the Breonna Taylor situation in Louisville, you know, has really gripped the nation, gripped the nation from Georgia to Kentucky, and now all the way up in Minnesota. Yeah. And I'm sure things are happening on the West Side. We just haven't heard about it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But with these situations, you know, the unrest is tremendous. I want to point out something that the governor said of Minnesota, and it was truth. He said, generations of pain is something that he hit on. Generations of pain has caused this unrest. Generations of unheard voices has caused this unrest. I want to thank you both for joining forces to bring us together to acknowledge the injustice that's there. Let's talk about the rally that you have coming up and why. Your why. What is the goal of this rally?
I would say that the ultimate goal is to create a dialogue between our police department and our mayor and the citizens of Columbus, to create a dialogue where we can just be open and real with each other. And not have this gray area and not have this place where we feel like we can't talk to the police or we can't trust the police. Because I think that a lot of unrest that we're seeing in these other cities is because people are not wanting to trust the police anymore. They're not wanting to deal with the police, period, anymore. And so they're lashing out in ways that, you know, are to me very, very, very hard, very sad to look at. We see it, but they're lashing out in ways where they try to express themselves because their emotions are basically all over the place. So that can happen anywhere. That can happen in Columbus, right? So
Hold on a second. I'm sorry. You were breaking up very bad.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Very bad.
I was. Okay.
Yeah.
The thing is for us to get ahead of it, because it could happen anywhere. You know, it could happen in Columbus. You know, Columbus is not immune from these kind of things happening. So I think that it happened in some ways in different situations that we've seen over the years. I can go back to the Kenneth Walker situation, that kind of thing. So, you know, but this situation right here is something that we're definitely not immune to. So we want to get ahead of it. We want to allow citizens of Columbus to express themselves and get their questions answered, whatever those questions may be. And, you know, we're not creating a situation where we're going to spend all day talking with the chief, but we're going to hit the main questions, the main issues that we think the people want us to go at, and want the main questions that we want answers to. And the main focus of this is for us to come together in a peaceful way, because we can do things in a peaceful way, because we are an educated group of people. We can talk and have a dialogue population. We can talk and have a dialogue without having to immediately go left and immediately, you know, take our frustrations out on our police force.
Violence.
For the most part, most of our police force are pretty good, you know, when you think about it. But I think the situations that we're looking at across these states, across these cities, is painting a bad picture. So we want to paint another picture. And we want to basically be out front to show that we can do this, we can have a rally, and we can talk and we can come together in solidarity for George Floyd, first and foremost, but also for us as a people here in Columbus. You know, we can do this, and that's our main focus, and that's really what
created
us. People to leave the rally with a sense of understanding of our police department and what we're doing, what they're doing.
Create a sense of a support. You know, because like you're talking to us, Mike, and you're getting my take on how it has affected me and, you know, how I responded to it. We don't know how it's affecting others. you know, and we don't know if those others have somebody to talk to about it.
The rally is coming up this Saturday. It's called the My Black Has a Purpose Rally. Talk about where the rally will take place and when it will get started this Saturday.
It'll be at the, we are wanting to start at the old Rite Aid on Winton Road. And then we will march from there down to the Citizen Service Building, on Macon Road, right next to the public library. And then that's where we will have the actual rally. So we will march. It's about a 20-minute walk. We will be out there at 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock, then we will start marching at 10. And we also want to put out that we are actually going to be looking to give the 50 masks away to the first 50 people who get there. Because at the same time, and let me please mention that, guys, please do not forget that we are still social distancing.
Thank you.
And we are definitely taking that into consideration.
Thank you.
It's still alive. It's still active. It's still here.
Right.
Thank you. We don't want to be careless in our efforts to support. Okay?
Thank you.
So definitely wear your mask. I'm not a stickler on wearing gloves because I am in that profession, and I know that, you know, with gloves, you can put yourself at higher risk with wearing gloves. Just remember to wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your mask. And just, you know, keep your distance. I think everybody will understand if you're not walking and running up to them, hugging them and kissing them like we wish we could. But right now we're just in a time where we just have to make adjustments so that everybody's safety is first and ensured. But that is the plan, Mike. Like I said, we're hoping to get to the Citizen Service Building at about 10:50, 11, and then we will start the rally, opening up with prayer.
There it is. My Black Has a Purpose rally coming up this Saturday, and we want you to stay tuned for more details as far as that's concerned. I want to close out the conversation with both of you on this matter. Both of you have experienced violence in your families. Is this part of the catalyst that keeps you going and now taking it to this level with a rally?
I mean, I tell you, that's why I can't get that image of that. I can't get that image of Ahmaud Arbery running out of my head, because I literally saw my brother Caleb, because he was almost like the same size and build of Caleb. And so it was in my head. It was in my head, and I pictured my brother right there. From dealing with me and Takara, you know, just from dealing with violence in my own family, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, right? You know, from Black children, Black kids in our own community, you know, that are serving years and years and years in jail, prison, you know, murdering half of my family. You know, my daughter was 10 years old. My mother was 54. My brother was 17. You know, jealousy and envy. And I posted that on the other day on Caleb's birthday. And I had a very hard week this week because it was Caleb's birthday. It was Ahmed, then it was George. And I was like, oh my God, I felt so drained on his birthday. Because on one hand, I was like, well, Lord, I'm glad that he's not here for me to worry about him. I would be worried about him. You know, he'd be 22 years old.
Wow.
He would be driving. He'd be making friends. I would be worried about him.
Wow.
So I was like, God, I'm kind of glad. But I felt selfish. I was like, I wanted to be here because I want to live my life through him. You know, the things he would be doing now. And then I think about my mom. What would my mom be doing right now? What would my daughter be doing right now? So, I mean, just from experiencing that level of violence and trauma, I can understand the trauma that these families are going through. Again, a different type of situation, but the trauma is the same because you've lost somebody that you love in a tragic way.
Right.
So I can definitely relate and definitely identify with it. I did want to put a plug in for Toya Tucker because she is the third branch of this tree. because she was out with us. We've been out since 10 o'clock this morning, nailing down our location and doing some things. So shout out to Toya Tucker because she's also a part of this movement as well that we're pushing.
Great.
And
Takara?
For me, Shamika's situation actually touched home for me even before experiencing it in my own, biological family, because I consider her family. I've been knowing Shamika for years. Her sister Lindsay and I actually graduated from Shaw together, and her mother, they lived around the corner from me. And so I used to go over there, and her mom would let me stay and eat dinner, and Ms. Gloria took me on trips to Florida with the family, and I used to play with Caleb and tease him all the time that he was my little boyfriend. He was only four, you know, but it's okay. And then, you know, we all went to church together, and her daughter Gigi, I taught her in youth Bible study. So, I mean, when I tell you that situation in itself still bothers me, and it will bother me for the rest of my life. But then on the 29th of November, the day after Thanksgiving, my own little brother, who was 21 at the time, was shot and killed. He was shot four times, just for not speaking. So again, not speaking to somebody he called his friend, you know? And so again, another senseless murder. Like she said, not the exact same situation, but it's senseless. And that's why I made it the point to say, we've got to really respect and understand that, I mean, in our own culture, that we have a purpose, and it's bigger than gangs. It's bigger than running the streets, selling dope, being a dope boy, wearing the best clothes, and playing the loudest music, or having the best car, or everything that, you know, the stigma draws up about, and I'm getting emotional, everything that the stigma draws up about Black people, it's bigger. We're bigger than that, y'all. We're bigger than that. And until we realize that, Mike, we're going to always have these problems. But that's one of the main things, or one of the other main reasons for this rally, because they've got to understand, you guys, we have a purpose, and it's time to fulfill that purpose. Yesterday probably is going to mark one of the most chaotic times in American history, and yesterday marked 6 months of death for my baby brother. And so this thing hit home. It's just hitting in so many ways for me right now.
I want to thank
what
you
I
both.
Said earlier too, yeah. What I was saying earlier too, Michael, was that we're just three Black women setting up for a Black man. We don't know George. You know what I'm saying? But we're setting up for a Black man, but for our Black men. For our Black men in general, because our Black men are considered to be a threat. But go ahead.
That's right.
I want to thank you both for being on the show. And again, I salute you. I salute your courage. Because you could be anywhere else and you could be doing anything else, but to step outside of your own self and your own pain and your own situations and your own comfort to bring us together, that is monumental and that is commendable. And we salute you again. Thank you so much for bringing us together. And I look forward to being with you both on Saturday. Again, if you'll give us the time and the location.
So it's Saturday. Go ahead, Mika. Go ahead, Mika.
We're going to be at the corner of the old Rite Aid, the corner of Whitney Road.
Whitney and Henry
Road
Avenue.
And Henry Avenue, right. Mm-hmm. The old Rite Aid right there. We're going to actually, yours truly, not me, but Michael Soul, will be out there directing and helping people to kind of get us kind of situated. And then also we'll be there at 9:30. And then we're going to start the rally promptly at 10 a.m. And we're going to go straight down Macon Road towards the City Services Center. Once we get there, we will actually start the rally itself, and we will have an agenda in place. We'll open with prayer. We'll open with a song, and then we're going to go into our agenda, which will not be a long agenda, but it's just going to be something where we can all come together and kind of learn more about the state of our community and what we can do to avoid a George Floyd situation here in Columbus. So that's what we're doing, 9:30 a.m., Old Rite Aid, the corner of Whitney Road and Henry Avenue, Saturday, June 6th.
As I have been ending the show and my conversations with our guests and our listeners out there, I want to end it with you both in the same way, especially during the coronavirus pandemic. Be blessed and be safe. Thank you. Another powerful, informative show, and we hope you are inspired to stand up for justice. Stand for the truth. This is Sunday Conversations. Thanks again to our very special guest, Barbara Gaucher from WTVM Newsletter 9, and that wonderful song by her son, Brennan, called Sing My Song, and the organizers of a rally coming up this Saturday in Columbus, My Black Has a Purpose, Shamika Averett and Takara Hemingway. Wishing everyone everywhere peace and blessings. Thank you again for listening to Sunday Conversations. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.